Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Look at sunshine now.
Look at you. You look amazing now. the wired network is working. The sunshine's come out. Let's knit all this together.
Lionel, how do you work that one out? You know, my missus could have played against him.
I've got to be careful.
I'm sorry and all this. That's a lot of. You've got to die to get 3 points.
Hello, everybody. Welcome along to the latest episode of the Die for 3 Points podcast. I'm your host, David Prutton, alongside the formidable Mr. Neil Warnock. Neil, how are we?
Yeah, good morning. Cold. Everybody is around the country, aren't they? But, I mean, it's such a fresh and dry, wonderful sunshine coming through the windows now. And it was minus 7 this morning. So, everything's going all right now.
And you've been out looking after the local wildlife, you were just telling me?
Yeah. I love my wildlife. I've got about 3 lots of different seeds and things. And this morning, because all the seeds are frozen up, Dave, I've actually got some little plates. So I've gone round, I've got a couple of tables, and I put my seed on the plate so that my robin, I've got a robin that comes. I'm sure he'll come on my hand one day. I hope I can film it for you. But
that'd be wonderful.
I talk to him
say.
In the morning. You've got to look after them if you can. And my pond, I've got a pond at the bottom which is half frozen.
Right.
So you know, it's I'm hoping that the ducks are all right. So it's one of those things, isn't it?
It sounds idyllic down there.
The stress of living.
Exactly. Yeah.
Retirement.
Not down for 3 points. Not down for 3 points at this moment in time. Just looking after wildfowl down. Really down in the West Country. Thank you for that update. I mean, there's so much to talk about. Okay. We've had a couple of weeks off, haven't we? But we'll get on to the real kind of meat on the bones, which is what's happened with England in the World Cup. But in that interim period, there's been a birthday. Many happy returns. How did you spend it?
Yeah, I try not to remember them now, if I can. So when you're younger, you want to be older. When you're 19, you want to be 24, don't you? When you're 73, you do not want to be 74. You want to be 50. So it's, I had a good time. Sharon and I went up to London and we did a league manager's. I attended a league manager's function. And and then we went to see Pretty Woman in the West End. And so I really enjoyed it a couple of days. And we treat ourselves. We have what they call a Pullman up from Plymouth. And you can have a 3-course meal on it and things. So with me, being my birthday, I had the works, and it was lovely travelling like that. Really, you know, I thought we'd get it in before all the strikes.
Yes, exactly.
It sounds like everybody's going to be on strike.
Yeah, you've timed that to absolute perfection. Now I was looking at when your specific birthday was, and obviously, as we get into December, you share it with these notable people. It covers a whole gamut of different people. You've got Bette Midler on the same day. You've got Richard Pryor on the same day, obviously, God rest his soul. Lenny Kravitz's daughter, Zoe Kravitz. You've got John Densmore, the Doors drummer. And you've also got Pablo Escobar. So I think we've covered the whole spectrum of people that you could be sharing a birthday with.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope they'll be saying, oh, Neil Warnock's got his birthday. Yeah,
exactly.
They'll be going, Neil who? Neil who? With the bloody LZ.
Yeah, I'm trying to work out the line that connects all those people, but I mean that's for a different podcast. That could take us a very long time. Let's get back to the football. Of course, we all saw England unfortunately bow out against France. Where did you watch the game, Neil?
Just with the family. Amy, a boyfriend, came down, and William was here, so we all got to behind the screens, and we had a bit of a we were gonna have one of those takeaways, but we thought. When we rang up, I think everybody was having a takeaway that night.
At the same time.
So we ended up doing it ourselves. Mm. And we enjoyed it. It was good. But, obviously disappointing the way it was, how it panned out. And once again, you almost felt the inevitability, Dave, didn't you? Even though we played so well. Mm. I know everybody's saying, here we go again, but... I was really disappointed because the lads, they've done well in these competitive, competitions. Yeah.
The debate obviously rages around Harry Kane. Wonderful first penalty. I mean, it should have had a penalty before that. I think we're all pretty categorical about that early doors in the game. Stepping up to take the second penalty. I've heard, because I've spent a lot of time in the car driving here, there and everywhere over the last few days, there's so many different opinions on this across the various radio networks. Some are saying that he shouldn't have taken the second penalty. That is a team packed to the rafters with very, very good players, but surely Harry Kane stands head and shoulders above anyone else in that side to be taking the penalty. You wouldn't want anyone else on it, would you, at all?
First of all, it's Lloris, who he plays with, trains with day in, day out. No doubt takes penalties against him, and then we get the first one, which is very good, and then this happened. Now I've never really had, I've never let my penalty taker take another one, if I'm honest.
In the same game,
I haven't really. Wow. I've always talked to my penalty taker and said, I think if you should try and let somebody else take it. But on this occasion, Dave, I've got to say, who would you have got to take it when you go through the team? You go through the team. None of the back four you'd want. I wouldn't want a young lad like Bellingham to have the responsibility, even though he'd probably revel in it. Henderson, I wouldn't.
Yep.
You've got the other strikers. I wouldn't fancy Xhaka with a penalty. And no. I wouldn't fancy Foden with a... So I don't think there were much option, really. I think that Kane had to take it. He's a captain, a leader. He picked the ball up and I don't think in his wildest dreams he could have envisaged such a poor penalty, hit the target. I thought he would have just, gone down the middle or hit it. But listen, I cannot tell you, Dave, as a manager, I've never, ever watched a penalty that my team have had.
Really?
I never had the guts when I was... Never watched one. I always look away or look at my staff and I wait for the reaction. They're either head in their hands or you can hear the crowd. I've never looked a penalty because I haven't got the guts to watch a penalty. I have never could never take a penalty because it takes so much guts. And a penalty with that pressure on. Knowing... Everything going through your mind, I'll be pillared if I miss it. This is the country depending. I'm nothing but pride for Harry Kane. And I don't think I would have wanted anybody else when I go through that team to take the penalty. And I would never, ever criticise Kane because I could not have taken that in a million years. And all these people that say, he should have done this, he should have done that. If they'd have been in that situation, they would have gone. They would have messed themselves. I'm telling you, it took some guts there. And so I'll never, ever criticise Kane for that.
The millions, the billions watching around the world, as you see him, the penalty is awarded, he puts it down on the spot. And I'm sat there as a former footballer that could never lace Harry Kane's boots. I played with good players. You've looked after and managed very, very good players. But I'm like you, Neil. I'm sat there watching him thinking, how do you compartmentalise what he's doing? He must know, feel, think that every single person on our little island is watching him at the same time going, come on, Harry, come on, Harry. I mean, that separates good players from great players, from top class players, doesn't it? Being able to go, this is my job, this is what I need to do, this is how I'm going to do it, and just get on with it. But as you say, when you saw it go over the bar, my heart just sunk for him, because he's done so many good things for club and country over such a long period of time, hasn't he?
He has, yeah. You know, having scored the first one, you know, he's got to also think that you know, he could be the hero. So I think it's one of those things that it's happened. We've all got opinions. All I know is I would never, ever criticise anybody that misses a penalty, because I haven't got the guts to take one myself. And I think it does take it. When you see these top players chip it down the middle in cup final, I think, wow, if I was a manager, I would get them by the neck. You know, it's I couldn't watch that. So
even though you managers, you coaches, you have to spend a lot of time on qualifications, a lot of time broadening out your experience, ticking all the boxes that go into putting a team together for a game. Is that grey area where you can look around that team and you think, lads, you've given me everything, you've done everything. Normally, I'd put my house on Harry to score a penalty. It's just, as you say, one of those things, because you'll get a section of fans that are tearing the hair out going, we need more detail than that. But sometimes it's the intangibles that can let you down in a game, isn't it?
It is. I mean, you can't legislate for somebody missing a penalty. As a manager, you know, it's... I think it's what... I'm a big believer in fate for whatever reason, mate. And we're just not meant to be there at the minute in the finals. We're doing better. We're a lot better side. We're one of the best sides in the world now regarding young players. Mm-hmm. And like I say, we'll talk about Gareth in a bit. But it's just that fine line. You can't say we haven't got enough, you know, to get over the line. We missed a penalty from 12 yards, and then it's anybody's game. So you've got to keep things in perspective, really. It's the disappointment. Everybody wants it to carry on. Everybody, you know, demands it. And there's got to be a scapegoat. You won't have a go at any of the players. How can you criticise any of the players that played? They gave everything. So who are you going to criticise? The manager. He's the easy shout. You know, get rid of him. He's no good. Don't know what he's doing. Substitute. Whatever you say. It's always the manager that gets the flack. The players don't get any. And they're quite right. They don't deserve to get flack. They did everything, give everything they got, and that's how it went. I'm afraid the manager, he knew straight away when that penalty went over the bar, the criticism that he was going to get, and that's the job that it is. It's the worst job in the world, I think, the England job. I want to talk about Gareth, but we'll talk about that in a little while. So I wouldn't put any blame on the player.
Yeah. No, I think that reflects your approach to management as well. Always taking the flak for your players. I'm sure behind closed doors, your opinion was heard and it was put forth. But, right, that's it. We're going to take a little break. And as Neil says, because it's his podcast, after the break, we're going to talk about Gareth Southgate.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Okay, welcome back to the Die for 3 Points podcast. We are debating the fallout from England coming out of the World Cup against France, most notably the managerial position. Gareth Southgate, of course, talked, Neil, about taking some time to reflect on what's happened. He looked pretty tired, I think, if we're all honest, when you heard his post-match interviews and press conferences, and understandably so. Big question for you. Do you think he should carry on, and do you think he will carry on?
Absolutely, yeah. I think this job, and if I would say to him, be careful, because you're disappointed when things like that happen and you make rash decisions. I've done it once, maybe twice in my career, where I've left a club and I shouldn't have done, really. But I think when Gareth sits down, this job is made to measure for Gareth Southgate. Nobody else. He grew up with the kids. The kids have come through. He's a quiet, calm manager, brings the best out of them. I think what doesn't help Gareth is, in between the major tournaments, we have stupid nation leagues and things like that where you can't get the adrenaline going. You might as well have pre-season friendlies. I could never get the adrenaline. And then you lose two or three, and that gives the ammunition for the press. So for me, you know, I think it's those games that Gareth remembers, losing three on the trot, four on the trot, whatever it was. And he thinks, oh, do I need the hassle again? He's got to switch off from that. He's the best one, but he's got to look at himself now and look at his staff and say, is there anywhere I could get another 15, 20%? He's not a stand up and die for 3 points manager. He's a very constructive in his mind. He speaks well. He thinks before he speaks. And I look at the staff he has, and the nice people, nice guys and that. And I just wondered if he needs another right-hand man. Are you with me?
Yeah.
A young Neil Warnock. He needs somebody around him, I think, a little bit more dynamic than what there is. And in the dressing room, a little bit more dynamic.
Do you think that's because he's naturally... It's the word conservative that gets thrown around, doesn't it? You look at the previous Euros and World Cup with regards to in-game management. What did you think his in-game management, it's such a buzz phrase, of this particular game was against France? Because, as you say, we're all disappointed that they came out, and heartbrokenly so. But it was a game where it didn't feel like the ones in the past where we were hanging on, or we ran out of ideas, or we looked frightened or scared or anything like that. We looked in the game. So if you reflect on it purely from a management point of view, the decisions that he made, were you happy with?
Well, I mean, nobody's happy with the decisions. And when they come off, everybody praises the manager, don't they?
Yeah.
In this particular case, everybody has opinion. I think sometimes during the tournament, he's probably been a little bit late in that. But I've got to say, from my experience, when we're playing well, you're loath to change it as a manager. You think, why change it? How are we going to do better when we're playing well? Then all of a sudden, a goal goes in, and you should have made the change 20 minutes ago. All the press and all the people. Well, that's rubbish. 20 minutes ago, we dominated them. So I don't see that, Dave. Do you know what I mean? I've done it myself, and I've kept on, and then lost a goal too late. We should have done it earlier. So it's Saka, I would have liked to have known if they took him off because he was shattered. Or if they, because we don't know, unless we're behind the scenes, what the player's telling the manager.
Second guessing, isn't it?
You know? And he did some work, dearie me. So I felt Mount was the right one. I thought Mount can come on and in that space, which I think he's good at. I would have thought Mount would have come on before Sterling. You know, I'm still a little bit perplexed about Sterling, but Sterling's always done well for Gareth. So as a manager,
he's like Maguire.
I think the
point that you're making there is such a good one, because you make a change too early when the game's going well and the finger gets pointed that you're trying to be too smart as a manager, isn't it? Trying to be too, trying to overcomplicate things when sometimes, and again, when we're discussing this, and I'm not trying to say that it's like the Wizard of Oz, there's this huge curtain that comes by and all the machinations going behind it. But having been in games, and your 50 odd years as a player and a manager, Neil, you're in games where it's comfortable. And the word comfortable doesn't get thrown around a lot in football, but you can sense it as a team. You think, we're doing okay here. We're fine. We're absolutely fine. And sometimes you look over and you think, well, what's the manager? Why is he bringing this player? And not because you don't like the player, but you're going, there's a feel about a game. There's a feel in game where things are okay. And it felt like, as you say, with England at times, they felt okay. And then you look at latterly, you get Grealish on for what, 2 minutes? 2.5 minutes?
That was just because the other one, because Stones was coming off, wasn't it? It is a difficult one. I think managers you'll get criticised for whatever you do, so you can't really win. There's only Gareth knows. There's only Gareth knows if he wants to continue. All I would say to Gareth is, this is made to measure. This is you, England job. Don't ever leave. You've just got to wait until they get rid of you.
Yeah.
And stick it out, because you'll not get a better job. So I hope he looks at the whole staff, not just himself, because I don't think there's a better person for managing England than Gareth.
That dovetails into what my next question is with regards to names like Thomas Tuchel and Pochettino, complete non-starters for you when it comes to managing our national team.
Absolutely, yeah. I don't think you get anything better out of the names. Hey, they're good managers. And I'm not saying they aren't. But I think 90% of what Gareth does is good. And the players know him now. They respect him. I just feel at times players need a bit of a kick up the backside. They need another motivate. They need an arm round in the dressing room. They need a shout. Somebody needs to shout. I can't see Gareth shouting at him. I can see him talking, and getting annoyed. But I just think the dressing rooms for these cutthroat games, I think you just need something else. I can't really explain it. I don't think it's coaching. I don't think it's tactical. I just think it's that little bit something different that he's got to change if he stays. And that will be down to him. I think it'll be a big mistake if he leaves for himself, because I think he'll regret it in another year's time to have an opportunity to work with the quality of players that he's working with. And he's done well. Look at his record, so stands up to anybody. So I think he's just got to have time with his family now and then stop feeling sorry for himself and get on with it, really. He knows he's not going to please everybody. There's always going to be people wanting him out. Because that's the game that we're all in, and you can't stop opinions. But he'll know that he's made mistakes. He'll think about his substitutions. He'll think about one or two other things. But I wonder if he's ever thought about bringing another member of staff in like that. Are you with me?
Yeah,
I just think just something else on that bench that needs to change to help him, really.
Okay then, so the domestic season quite obviously is cracking on now. We're in that odd position where normally we've got a month or so to work through heartache and get back to the day job. But these players are coming straight back into what will be a hectic Premier League season. What do you think we'll see off the back end of the World Cup in the second half of the season, in the Championship, in the Premier League, with these players coming back?
I don't think they've missed much, really. If they'd have been here, they'd have been playing twice and training every day, wouldn't they? So I think it's given one or two a chance to break. One or two clubs have had quite severe injury lists. They'll have relished the opportunity to get one or two players fit. And I think it's going to be a great end of the season. I look at the Championship, mate, and you've got Burnley, who, to me, look a class above anybody else, really. I think Company and Craig Bellamy, I think they've done a brilliant job up there, because it's not easy. They brought that many players in and to get the team as confident as they are, and the options off the bench, I don't see anybody better. Paul Eckenberg is doing well to keep Sheffield United up there. They've had horrendous injuries at Sheffield. And I look at the rest, and I've always said it, Dave, you know me, I think Middlesbrough's got as good a squad as anybody in that league. And I honestly believe if I'd have stayed there that year, we'd have gone up in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And nothing's going to change my mind on that. And I think they've got a great chance, mate, of getting into the playoffs and then going up, mate. Yeah. So I look right down You know, I think it's wide open, Dave. And then I go to the Premiership, and I look at the Premiership, and I think, wow, this is going to be fantastic. I mean, Arsenal to have lost Jesus like that, I mean, wow. That is a big blow. That he's a horrible little person on that pitch. I love him as a manager. Oh, I absolutely love him. Go on, you nasty.
That's a compliment. Thing. That's your compliment, yeah. There, isn't it? If people read that out of context, I think that's a bit mean. But when you know it's coming from you and the way you've said it, that is the ultimate tribute you pay to him.
Dave, I do, honestly. I'd have him anywhere, me. I'd have him going out with me to a pub at night as well inside of it. I think he's just a fabulous player, me. I know they let him go, Man City, but it could come back to bite him. I never thought that Arsenal would sustain it at the moment. So if they
Five points clear at the top of the Premier League, they are.
But that's not invincible. When I look at Man City, they're still the team, I think. I mean, Arsenal, the team that they've got, they bring a couple in, they've got young players flying as well. So I like the squad. It's good to have another team pushing Man City. I think Man City, that flaming good over the last few years. Liverpool have done well as well. And it'll be interesting to see how Klopp goes on. You know, it's the first sort of hiccup he's had for a few years. But a good manager, he'll sort that out. And then you look at the US. I mean, who tipped Newcastle to be in the top five, David, at the start of the season?
Exactly.
Thank you very much. Everybody said, pie in the sky.
Exactly, but I mean, given what they've done, so it's Arsenal 37 points, Manchester City 32 points, Newcastle 2 points behind Manchester City. The two above them have got games in hand though, and Spurs in fourth. And there was a section, of course, when Kieran Trippier joined Newcastle from Atletico Madrid, saying he's only going there for one reason, and we all know what that reason would be. They're talking about the wages, etc. But he said he's come to join a big club gunning for the top four. So far, so good. They look like a team that could really mix it up in the Champions League positions, don't they?
What I like about Eddie Howe, and I think I worried about Eddie going there at first, because when he went to Burnley, he was lost, really. Mm. And he needed that home loving, which he got at Bournemouth.
Yeah.
And to go there, if things didn't go right, but what I like about him, how he's just gone about it in a calm way. He's not signed, you know, Trippier. You wouldn't have expected Trippier to be his first signing. You know, you'd expect them to spend millions and everybody raving about the money that they've got. I think his signings have been good, mate. You know me, I love Dan Byrne.
He's superb, isn't he?
I mean, I really should be secretary of his fan club, Dan Byrne, because I think he's fabulous, mate. And not just, you know, when I talk about England and that, I just think the way he talks and drives them on as well, that's what I think they miss. So I think Newcastle's got a lot of, you know, I hope they don't get carried away now and go silly and spend money on big players that will disrupt the dressing room.
Yeah.
Because the dressing room has been, I mean, Almirón has been unbelievable, hasn't it?
Superb, you know, player.
I mean, what some of the fit. So, you know, they're excited. I'm looking to see how Lampard will cope with Everton.
Yeah.
You know, I think it'll be interesting to watch Villa now. They've changed managers, and to see if he can sustain what this, you know, the first game that he started in. They did really well, didn't they? So there's a lot of that. Chelsea, the money that the owner's got now and what they're going to do, you know, that will be another one that's interesting, won't it? To see, because Tottenham, can Conte sustain that?
Yeah.
I mean, he gets criticised for his style and what have you, but I think Tottenham have needed, I think they need to win something now. They've got the best chance of winning.
Silverware.
Best chance of winning something is with Conte. So
just moving on very, very briefly. You see these players coming back, Neil. Would you need to do anything special as a manager to get them back in to club mode, if you like, after they've been away at a World Cup? Or is it just, right, lads, sunshine's over, welcome back to the winter, let's crack on?
I think it's just they'll all be talking about the stories with the lads in the dressing room, what, you know, things that happen, everything. And the lads that haven't been out there will be interested to listen to it all.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be good banter, a little bit different. But you know what players are like. They get back into that dressing room, and that's what I miss more than anything, Dave. I miss the dressing room.
Yeah.
I miss the banter when I walk in the door and, you know, I see Sol Bamba in a pair of jeans and I say, what's your grandmother wearing today, Sol? You know, if you've got her clothes on. You know, things. I miss things like that. And I think they'll all come back in now. I'll be looking forward to the second half of the season. And quite rightly so. And I am as well, I must admit. I think there's some great games coming up. I just think the only thing that disappoints me as a football person at 74 years of age is the fact that I thought we were desperate for VAR.
Mm.
And now I wish we'd just got goal line technology and nothing else now. Yeah. I never thought I'd say that.
Yeah.
When we're at Cardiff, and I'll never forget that Chelsea goal going in 2 yards offside, and I thought, staggering. Oh, for VAR.
Mm, yeah. Well, as I look at you here with the sun beating down on your face, there's not a hint of stress betrayed itself across that visage, Neil. You look very relaxed. You've been out talking to nature. This has once again been an absolute pleasure. Please like, subscribe, comment. I know we've had a couple of weeks off, but if you're not going to celebrate a birthday, and I won't mention how old you are again, then what can you celebrate? So that's why we'll be back at it next week. Neil, a pleasure as ever. It's been wonderful to chat once again. Thanks to you all for listening. I'll leave the final word with you, Neil Warnock.
Well, just take care. I mean, I just walked around the back of the house today and nearly went flying. Ice everywhere, on the roads as well. You know, on the roads with the kids, I've said to the kids, be careful driving. You know, you can't be sprinting away anywhere. Everything's got to be cautious now, you know, because it's and especially when you get older, you know, you can't be falling over and breaking your limbs, you know. Nobody wants to go in hospital now, so
just be
careful, that's all.
Amen to that. And sorry for laughing at the fact that you nearly fell over, but come on, we both know that's kind of funny.
You would if you'd have seen it, you'd have laughed.
Go careful, Neil.
Cheers Dave.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.